This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. Last week, we started talking about this incredible prayer that Jesus prayed in Luke 22:42, which said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Not what I want to do, but God, what do you want to do? And we talked about the fact that it's not just a prayer, it's actually a process that God takes us through, and a process that we walk out for the duration of our walk with God. We're actually learning how to lay down our will and pick up his will. So it's a process. It's not just a one and done type of prayer. It's something that is an ambition that we take up, and sometimes we get in the way of that. Sometimes, like Jonah, we go the opposite direction of what God is saying to us. Sometimes God takes us to a place that's uncomfortable, and we have to follow him through seasons of discomfort. Sometimes everything is regular and everything is business as usual, and God just interrupts our lives. And so what does it really mean for us to lay down our will? If you missed the last 2 weeks, you can go and catch it on the podcast, because this has really been a transformational couple of weeks. And I really believe this is something that God is speaking to us and speaking to the body of Christ at large, is that we need to lay down our will. But I want to take you a little bit deeper today. Is that okay? Is it okay if we get a little personal? Turn to somebody and say, "We're going to get a little personal." And when we talk about not my will, we deal with some personal areas. And one of those really personal areas is the part of our personality, and being able to lay down our personality and pick up what God wants for us. And being a believer is about being willing to lay down even the most personal parts of our lives, even our personality, and say, "God, if you need to modify something in my personality, if you need to change something in me, I give you full capacity to do that." Even with something as personal as that, even with something that I think is the very heart and core and center of what I am, I'm willing to do that. Because we all have areas that we say, "Oh, that's just the way I am. That's just my style." Or, "I'm just fashionably late." Or, "I'm always early." Or, "I just don't do drama." Or, "Drama is my middle name." Things that we hang our hat on. Sometimes God is saying, put that on the altar. Because really, who are we to tell God who we are? What right do we have to tell God that? Didn't God make us? Didn't God form us? What kind of misled conversations do we get into with God sometimes? "God, I don't do that. That's not me." Or, "God, if you knew me, you wouldn't ask me to do something like that." Or, "God, I just don't work like that." How do we know how we work in the first place? The Bible says God has numbered every hair on our head, Luke 12:7. Don't you think that God knows us better than we actually know ourselves? God knows who you are. God knows what your personality is. And he knows even what parts of your personality that you need to change. And ultimately, at the end of the day, our personality should reflect Christ. Sometimes you can say, "Pastor, that's kind of, you're oversimplifying things." But I think actually the enemy steps in and overcomplicates things. Because we need, if we want to be like Christ, we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to have the character of Christ. And yeah, in some ways we need to have the personality of Christ. And we can't be good Christians unless we're willing to put our personality on the altar and say, "Not my will, but your will." Not what I think my personality should be, not what I think I am, and not what I think I should be doing, but God, even I'm willing to put my personality on the altar. And I don't think you hear a lot of sermons like that, but we have to put what we think we are on the altar and say, "Not my will, but your will." And that's what it's all about. It's about transformation. It's about going from where we were to where God wants to take us. It's about whatever the old man and whatever we were doing in the old life to stepping into something that God is doing, in continuing on that journey with him. And he highlights things. And every week we've been talking about things. And I know in your private time, he's even exposed stuff that we haven't talked about on Sunday, saying, I want you to put this down. I want you to lay that down. I want you to lay this down. Why? Because that's a part of saying, not my will, but your will. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So I'm not creating myself in my own image. It's rather God has created me and is forming me into his image. He's the one taking me on a journey. And so at times that includes even my personality. And that's a big thing. And you know what else? As if surrendering personality wasn't big enough, we also have to surrender our right to be offended. Amen. Did you know that? As Christians, we have to surrender our right to be offended. When we came to Christ, in following after him, we surrender our right to be offended. When I was younger, something that my mom would teach me over and over again. How many had a mom that taught you stuff, some important lessons? And so one of the things that my mom taught me was that you don't have the right to be offended. If you've been bought with a price, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to Christ. Your life is not your own. And this is such a true thought, because if we belong to God then our top desire is to please him, is to follow him. And so actually, we don't have time or space in our life to be offended with people. So turn to somebody and say, I don't have time or space to be offended with people. Did y'all record that? Because we're going to need that later. Going to get everybody on record saying, I don't have time and place to get offended. We have time to love the world, but we don't have time to be offended at the world. We have time to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we don't have time to get offended with one another. We have too many important things to do. If you're a Christian and you are offended, you are doing it wrong. I don't mean to be so pointed today, but that's the truth. If you're offended and you're a Christian, you're doing Christianity wrong, because sometimes we have to go back to the source material. We need to go back and take a view and look at a glimpse of what Jesus is doing. And Jesus was not offended. James actually gives us some key insights about this. He says, James 1:19, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. If we belong to God now, if we've been bought with a price, those old ideas of getting offended and walking away don't belong in our life anymore. When God gives you an assignment, when God speaks to you clearly and says, this is something I have for you, this is something that I put you on, this is something I want you to do, you just can't walk away from that. We use excuses, we use personality conflicts, we use offense, we use a whole different slew of words that basically means, you hurt my feelings, so I'm walking away. But if God assigns you to that, doesn't that mean that only God can reassign you? I can't reassign myself. If God assigned me to pastor at Hope, I can't reassign myself to something else because I got offended with somebody. Or I got frustrated with the leadership team. Or I got frustrated with some of the volunteers. Or somebody was getting on my nerves. So all of a sudden, I reassigned myself when God assigned me to something. Far too often we reassign ourselves because we're offended. When God gives you an assignment. Sometimes God sends people to a church. God plants someone in a ministry. And then they get offended with a brother or a sister or a leader. And they walk away. That's not how the family of God works. That's how the world works. In the family of God, you work things out. Turn to somebody and say, in the family of God, you work things out. This is a family therapy session. Turn to somebody else and say, in the family of God, we work things out. All right, good. We're making some advancements here. When we do things in God's name, like come together as a church, it's covenant. It's covenant. God sent me. God connected us. It's covenant now, right? It's covenant. It's a heavenly agreement that I've entered into. So I can't just breach that covenant because I'm offended. But far too often we see people walking away from churches across America because they're offended. Not because God reassigned them, but because they got offended, because there was some type of personality conflict. How many people have gotten upset with a sister or a brother in your natural family? Got into an argument with a brother or a sister? In a family, you work things out. And so, sadly enough, far too often we see people walking away from church, walking away from a ministry area that they're supposed to be in. Why? Because they got offended. But that's not relationship. That's not family. That is fast food Christianity. If I don't like what you're serving or how you're serving Christianity at this McDonald's, I'm going to go to the next McDonald's down the street. I'm going to get in line over there. Because you're not serving hamburgers the way that I like. Your sermons are not like I like. You're not singing the songs or the styles that I like. And so I'm moving on. How many weak excuses do we use underneath the banner of offense? I don't just get offended and stop calling you and stop being in relationship with you. When you're in relationship, when you're in covenant with somebody, you sit down and talk if there's a problem. And even if you have to leave, you sit down and you talk. That's what people in relationship do. That's what people in covenant do. If you feel God is moving you, God is doing something else, you sit down and you talk about it. That's covenant. That's not my rant. That's actually a teaching today. I know you probably sit back and you think, you know, pastor probably gets upset sometimes, and you know, sometimes maybe he goes on a rant. That's actually a teaching. Because either whether it's one thing or it's another, as Christians we get offended too easy. We get upset because somebody asked us to move seats, or somebody told us we couldn't do something, or somebody said something to us a way we don't like. What would the early church think about that type of flaky Christianity? What would those that have gone before us that were persecuted for the sake of Christ think about us falling out of relationship because of offense? They would think that's flaky. What would the people that are being persecuted right now? How many know that actually right now is the most persecuted the church has ever been in history? There's more martyrs today. Just because we're in America, we don't realize it sometimes. There's more martyrs today, more people dying for their faith, for Christ, right now than any other time in history. What would they think about us getting offended, getting upset, walking away, stopping doing what God has called us to do because we got upset at each other? This is what Jesus instructed us in Matthew 5:39. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Where did we lose this teaching? To turn the other cheek. You see, our will is when somebody slaps us in the face, to slap them back in the face and give us a piece of their mind. But that's not what Jesus said his will is. He said, my will and the will of the Father is to turn the other cheek and to forgive. Forgiveness is a form of surrender to God's will. Because the flesh, I hope you write this down, write it down on the tablets of your heart, write it down on your refrigerator. This is important. Because the flesh wants to be justified and to be avenged, but the Spirit says forgive. The flesh wants to be justified and be avenged, but the Spirit says forgive. The flesh says come down off that cross and kick some butt and take some names. But Jesus says stay on the cross and forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. That is the Spirit of Christ. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will is an act of surrender. I will lay down my right to be offended with you. Because for me to pick up forgiveness and continue in forgiveness, I have to lay down offense. You cannot walk in forgiveness and carry offense at the same time. I guarantee you, this is true to the word of God. The moment that you carry offense, you put forgiveness on the shelf and you pause that aspect of your Christian walk and you say, I'm deciding to carry this offense and I'm putting forgiveness on the shelf. An important aspect of redemption and salvation, forgiveness, we put that on the shelf because we think carrying an offense is more important. How deluded does the enemy trick us into being? If we want to be like Christ, we have to forgive like Christ. What will keep you healthy in life is forgiveness. What will help you grow as a Christian? Surrendering your right to be offended. If you hurt me, I forgive you. If you talk bad about me, I forgive you. If you betray me, I forgive you. Actually, the only thing that Jesus said would not be forgiven is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Listen, in Matthew 12:31, it says, "So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven." So that means everything else can and should be forgiven. Peter came to Jesus one day and he said, "How many times should I forgive somebody? It's done me wrong. Brother, sister in Christ, another believer. Did me wrong. Should I do it 7 times? He's thinking he's noble. 7 times? Is that good enough? Is that above like what your expectation is, Jesus?" And Jesus greatly expanded his understanding of forgiveness. And he said, no, 70 times 7 is how much you should forgive someone. And the Greek and the biblical understanding of 70 times 7 is unlimited amount. An unlimited amount of forgiveness. And so how many times do you think Jesus is forgiving us? Till our last breath, Jesus is forgiving us over and over and over and over and over. So if Christ is the one we're following after, how many times should we be forgiving those? Over and over and over. 70 times 7, an unlimited amount. And it becomes liberating. It's truly liberating and freeing to forgive, to lay that unforgiveness down. John 8:36 says, "Who the Son sets free, when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed." I believe that this type of freedom only comes from being forgiven and then forgiving. It's a circle of life. It's a process, a spiritual process. We are forgiven and then we forgive. We are forgiven and then we forgive again. And then God forgives us again and we forgive others. And it's a cycle and a process of forgiveness. This is a life that we're living. It's a life of forgiving and being forgiven. I can't hang on to these old pains, these old grudges, because there's no place for it in this new life. Because you know what? Forgiveness, unforgiveness will weigh you down. It's like a crushing weight. It's heavy. It's a heavy load. It's impossible to maintain it. It'll eat you up like a disease. Unforgiveness is something we have to learn to surrender. It doesn't come natural. It's not going to be you wake up in the morning and say, "You know what? I feel like forgiving." No, you got to pray to get in the zone. Right? You got to get in the spirit. Get in the zone so you can forgive somebody. Because in the natural, we don't feel like laying down that grudge. We don't feel like laying down that hurt. We don't feel like laying it down at the altar. No, we feel like carrying that hurt and that offense instead of carrying and walking in forgiveness. But when we lay that unforgiveness down, we pick up his will, which is forgiveness. There's something so freeing when we surrender. And that's what we're doing when we say, "Not my will, but yours be done." Surrendering to God sets us free. Maybe today God is tugging at you. Maybe you need to lay down your personality. What you thought was so central to who you are and your swag, to lay that down. And say, "God, if you need to change something, change it." Maybe you need to lay down some unforgiveness in your life. Something you hadn't forgiven. Maybe something you forgot about forgiving. Or something maybe that you're consciously holding on to. God wants us all to leave out of here with a freedom like we've never known. A freedom that only comes from surrender. We surrender our bags. We surrender our baggage to God. We say, Jesus, I'm laying my baggage down at the foot of the cross. When I was a teenager, my family went on a hike, a family hike in the mountains, hiking trail. It was incline, not like Miami, everything flat. No, this was a hike like this, right? And it was my dad, my mom, me, and my two sisters. And so I decided I was going to travel light. No bags, no baggage, easy journey, beautiful journey. My mom decided she was going to carry a bag with snacks and with water bottles. How many know that water bottles, when you add them together, can be heavy? Especially when you're not carrying a backpack, you're carrying a regular bag kind of over your shoulder. And I watched her, and it's weighing her down. And it weighed her down, and it weighed her down, and it weighed her down. And finally, she decided, you know what? I'm going to get rid of this bag, and I'm going to have no baggage. We're going to go on this hike, and it's going to be beautiful. And she did better. For the rest of the trip, she was free, no baggage. The problem was, she put that baggage on me. And I had to carry the baggage the rest of the hike. Now, since then, we've dealt with that. I put that personal child trauma behind us now. And thank you for the claps. Jesus is the only one that's meant to carry our bags. We all have bags. We all have hurts. We all have things that we need to forgive. Some of us have forgiven. Some of us still need to forgive. But we all been there where we needed to lay something down, or we laid something down. It is the act of surrendering our hurts, our unforgiveness, our baggage to Him. It's Jesus. All we have to do is surrender. Surrender our bags. Surrender our unforgiveness. Sometimes even surrender our personality. Say, God, if there's something here that needs to change, I give you full permission to make alterations, to make changes. Because the more we surrender, the more freedom we experience. Would you stand with me as we close? And just bow your heads, because I believe there's something so freeing that God wants to do to us and for us and through us today. Will you just say this with me? Jesus, I lay down all my baggage, all the things I thought were important. God, I lay down my hurt. I lay down my unforgiveness. I lay down grudges, and I pick up forgiveness. God, I even lay down my personality. If you need to change something, change it. I don't want anything to limit me from your will. I lay down my will and I pick up your will. And as you're there today, maybe you're saying, Pastor, I feel a little bit disconnected from my relationship with Jesus, and I know I need to reconnect with Him. Or maybe I need to connect with Him for the first time. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you. Amen. 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 The most important thing is that we connect with Jesus. And I don't want anybody to leave out of this place and you feel disconnected in your faith. You feel disconnected from God. This is the moment that God wants to connect with you. If that's you, slip up your hand just one more moment. Amen. Amen. If you raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody, you can agree with us. Say, Jesus, I surrender all. I surrender my life. Thank you for your free gift of salvation. Thank you for taking away my sins. and given me a new life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for reconnecting me with the Father. Thank you for eternal life. Teach me how to walk with you. Teach me how to follow your will and lay down mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.